What else do you want? Probably money, but we don't have a lot of that.
Episode 58 of the Anchor Me Farm podcast. This is Brian.
I'm Kara.
And it's Easter today. It's Easter Sunday.
Doesn't feel like it, though, because I'm not sure when Easter normally is, but it doesn't feel like Easter. We don't normally celebrate it anyway, so.
Yeah, it's March 31st, and we always thought of Easter as being April, but whatevs. For us, it's a day when everything's closed. And I wanted to go to Home Depot today. I looked up on the internet, Home Depot 2024 Easter, and I saw, I think it's a USA Today article saying it would be open 8 to 6, but maybe that's some other location. I didn't check our particular one.
I had mentioned that perhaps you should call first, because it's not like...
like we're in the 20th century or something.
It's not that easy to just hop on over. It's a drive.
It's a little bit of a drive, yeah. It's not that bad for Maine, but it's not nothing. And I just went, and everything was closed. Absolutely everything. The only thing that was open was our general store, Huzzy's. So on the way back, I got six bales of hay.
And our little farm shop's open. So if people needed eggs or anything, baked goods.
Yeah.
Their stuff.
Now, I don't know if the microphone's picking it up. But there's some pretty loud ducks in the house right now.
Yeah, they're really bored and
going bonkers. We should probably catch you up.
Yeah.
The saga of the ducks with prolapsed oviducts continues. And the only one that seems to be really bad is Hopeman, the original prolapse.
Which is weird because she is the one that had the surgery and was looking promising. But then...
yeah, she pushed it right back out.
Yeah.
Probably the next time she laid an egg, it just pushed back out. And now it's all loose again.
If she did lay an egg, we're not even sure.
We don't know. I'm guessing at that. That would have done it. But she's consistently out, and we haven't seen any improvement in her. But in the others, we've actually seen them go from pretty bad to decent. And one of them was really mild to begin with. And improved a little bit, so she went back outside. That's why it went from 9 to 8 originally. And was it this morning?
Yesterday.
Yesterday we let three of them back outside.
Yep.
Because they'd improved. So it's not a death sentence. It depends upon how bad the prolapse is. And
everyone keeps telling me, oh, there's no cure. It may happen again. But we're going to keep an eye out and... We're going to do our best to get them through this. We're being proactive, and it may not be a death sentence, so we're going to...
basically, if you can get it to go back in and stay in, and the duck can heal from there, then they got a pretty good shot.
And now that most of our boys have been separated, except a few mallards that have squeezed through the fence, but they don't really mate with them. They're just there because they don't like the other boys.
Yeah, our mallards have kind of a gang war going on.
Yeah, there's...
and there's one or two of them that are being constantly chased by the other mallards.
Well, there's three groups. There's two that are always together that get ganged up on. And then there's the four that are buddies. And then... so we have 10 mallards, including Logan and Ferns. Ferns is kind of by himself, so he hangs out with the others. And then the, what was that, 2 and 4 minus 2. That's a lot of math. Hold on.
You had 10, so you got 4 left.
4, and then the other 4 not always getting along. And they're usually chasing one of them because what else are they going to do, I guess?
And he's learned to tuck his wings in real tight and squeeze through the 4-inch by 4-inch grid fence that divides our two pastures. So he ends up over with the girls, but he doesn't bother the girls.
But right now there's 4 of them over there, and I had to break up or yell, not that they heard me, because I was in the bedroom yelling at them, break up, they're fighting, because they're always fighting.
You're manifesting it.
Yeah. I was going to open the window, but the window's the... And there they go again. I mean, is it the boys? Is it because they're passive aggressive? I don't know what the damage is.
Passive aggressive?
I don't... That's wrong. Is that wrong? I don't even know.
No, I'm imagining the Ducks making underhanded comments at each other.
They probably are, because they're talking smack.
Yeah. So by separating the males and females, we've reduced the trouble on the females significantly. The only ones that have a chance to breach the fence are the mallards. They don't cause trouble over here. And we just got all the snow melted.
Well, there's still patches.
There's patches, but it's melted to the point where you can walk around and do stuff on the grass. But we don't have time to fix that fence. I'd have to take some kind of chicken wire or smaller gauge fence and put it on those posts, and that's going to be a job. So we're waiting for better weather that's consistent. We have a ice storm coming up this week.
A snowstorm.
It says snow, but we know it's going to be ice.
Well, yeah. We don't know for sure. Because they're thinking another nor'easter, but is it? I don't know. I mean, it's so far out to predict, but...
And then yesterday, as I was going out to do errands and stuff, I came home and I found out one of the trees that's between us and our neighbors, this would be not the one we normally talk about, but this is our neighbor, Patty. We have these... They're not like pine trees or anything. They're the kind where the trunks come up in different directions. And
like ornamental shrub tree things that are pine-like. I don't know what they're called.
Yeah. And they just provide like a privacy screen. And they've been here since before we were here. The last windstorm uprooted it. And half of it just fell over. Cracked off and fell over under our fence. So I had to chainsaw that. And the rest of it was just leaning over Patty's driveway. And I just, the next windstorm is going to drop all that onto Patty's driveway. So it means I've got to remove all that. And there'll be a big hole in the privacy screen that they provide between us and Patty's driveway. So that's annoying. But it's safety first, right? Except my chainsaw has a problem. I've got a really dull chain. And that's why I wanted to go to Home Depot today. I wanted to get a chainsaw chain so I could work with it, but couldn't get one. So I've been doing all the work with this little pole saw with a 10-inch chainsaw. And it's about the length of a weed whacker. I didn't put the middle section on it because I don't really need the extra reach. And I managed to chop it all up and toss chunks of it into our yard, and the goats are having a fantastic time.
Yeah, they love it, and they smell piney fresh.
Yeah, so it makes their breath smell nice.
Or their fur.
Yeah, so there's advantages in that, but I'm going to have to, once they strip it clean, I'm going to have to toss that into our wood pile that we're going to have the dump guy take off.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is something you're going to have to do if you get property. There's always trouble, like if you have windstorms like we do, trees are going to give it up.
The problem is we have three dead trees that are just holding on for all might. And those are the ones we want down so we don't have to pay someone to get them down.
Yeah, they're all leaning on other trees.
You hear this creak. It's like this terrible creaking sound. Like, you know it's coming, but it's hang on for dear life.
The one she's thinking about that makes all the crazy creaking noises is wedged between two trees. So... anything could happen if you start cutting. So I need a professional to do that so that he can, like, he'll know what would happen if he starts here versus if he starts there. So I'm going to text him tomorrow and see if he can come out and take a look. But that one is pretty secure because it's wedged between two other trees.
Until the other trees fall over. Well, who knows now?
Oh, yeah. If one of the others gives it up, then... Yeah.
And if it falls when the goats are out there or a chicken,
it's dangerous.
Terrible.
Now, the other two trees that she's talking about are just leaning on one other tree. So those are, I would think, more dangerous and more capable of falling over in a storm. And every storm, when we have all the animals locked up, we're kind of hoping that they drop. Because the only thing that they have range to break is our fence, and I can fix that.
Yeah.
So we're hoping they'll save us some money and just let go and drop. But
they won't.
So far, no. But you're going to have to think about that, especially in mud season when all the ground is really saturated with water, snow is melting, everything's wet and soft. It's a great time to build fences, but it's also a great time for a windstorm to pull the roots right up out of the ground for a tree.
It's crazy to see these trees being literally uprooted.
Their roots are completely intact and the tree is not broken. It just, the ground got soft and the tree was heavy enough that it just pulled right out of the ground.
Crazy. It's just crazy. And we have a lot of tall, thin trees around here, which is scary.
Those I can cut down myself.
Well, like the really tall.
Oh, no. Those aren't what I would consider thin trees. Those are healthy, big trees. But those, she's talking about really ridiculously high, evergreen trees.
Yeah.
And you can see them swaying in the wind and everything, but
it's scary. And then the trees closest to the house they're healthy for now, but who knows?
Well, yeah, how many beatings can they take before they let go?
Trees are a problem. They're good. Trees are good. Don't get me wrong, but they cause a lot of damage.
You want a range around your house with no trees. And you also don't want anything with roots that can go up under your house. We've talked about that before in a few podcasts. Yeah. People plant these bushes right near their house, and those roots are going to attack your foundation eventually. I know. Those people are crazy.
They're so bored. I feel so bad. I keep feeding them treats, but
the ducks.
Yeah, the ducks.
The ducks are in the house are now in one little enclosure because their numbers have reduced to the point where it's more comfortable, but they're still incredibly bored. And as they get better, there they go. As they get better, they're going to be released back into the backyard. And there's another thing I'm trying to do. I lost time today because I had to deal with that crazy tree and my stupid expedition to go get a chainsaw chain. We bought two of these basically 10 foot by 20 foot. I think it's 9.6 feet by 19.7 feet. 10 by 20 enclosures. And you just wrap like chicken wire around them. They're light metal poles. They're not that sturdy, but they're perfect for keeping birds of prey out. And once I spike them down so the wind doesn't carry them away, we're going to let the girl ducks live in their house, and we're going to do a little fence and gate that connects their house to the enclosure, and then they're just going to live in the enclosure. And when we get the new girls, they're going to live in the enclosure.
Yeah, because I did order more girls. Didn't want to this year, but we kind of had to so we can integrate our ducks back together again one day.
We're trying to at least get a 2-to-1 ratio if we can manage it.
We're trying, but to keep our girls alive, we have to unfortunately enclose them.
Yeah.
And keep them safe from all the things, because they're the ones that get taken. We discussed that last episode, I believe.
Yeah, especially when they get broody.
So it's very important that we save them all. Not that I don't want the boys to be safe, but they're kind of safe on their own.
Well, the boys don't wander off by themselves to build a nest.
No.
They stick to their groups, and they don't have the same behaviors the girls have where they split off.
And they're kind of more in tune for hearing things, because the boys will always warn the girls, but the girls are kind of oblivious and want to forage or sleep or do something else. So
yeah, so
I'm not saying our girls are stupid, but
they're built for different stuff. When I spoke to the vet about all this, she confirmed our theory that I think Sarah had told us about birds of prey needing a landing strip, not a landing strip, but like a place where they can swoop and get their prey and carry it off without losing speed. They need a straight way, like a runway. And I've got a few shepherd hooks. I'm going to order some lanterns to make them pretty. I confirmed with the vet that putting that kind of thing around and breaking up those lines of attack are definitely going to help the girls. Nothing's 100%, but it definitely helps. So as we nurse more of these ducks back to health and put them back out there, and as we get more girls, we'll build our population up. And the great thing about these enclosures is they're modular. There's like three sections. Each of them, I think, is 6 feet deep or something like that. And we can move them pretty easy. They're not heavy. So when the time comes, we'll just pick them up and move them. In fact, I may cut the chicken wire and just make three separate sections and then connect them with more chicken wire so they're easy to take apart and move later.
Mm. Yeah, they're not the best thing, but they're a simple solution for what we need right now. And
because they're modular, we don't have to build them at exactly 10 by 20. We can use part of it here and part of it there. Basically, there's three little modules for each one. And we're thinking of using four in the back and two in the front. And the girls in the front of the house, the Pekins, are going to have full run of their house and the enclosure. And the boys will just be outside wandering around.
Yeah, because they're getting kind of beat up too. I mean, some of our boys aren't capable right now anyway, but
yeah, we've got ducks with leg problems, and the trouble is when it's a girl and they get too much attention from the males, because again, those ducks went up there because they have leg problems, and then we sent all Pekins up there. So we weren't thinking of the male-female ratio, we were thinking of the duck's health, and we wound up with a even-steven.
Even, but problem is a couple of our girls are not...
they're not able to move around very well.
Yeah, Doolin has a hard time, but the boys like her because she's pretty. So she gets picked on, but she can't move to get out of the way, and she looks like a hot mess more and more. So
basically, any of them that have trouble moving around, they do okay until that happens, and then they get much worse. So I've seen Doolin much healthier, moving around much better.
Because she has to be a house duck.
She's not going to be a house duck. We're going to put her in an enclosure where she's protected and the boys can't get her.
Yeah.
It also means that there'll be no eggs in weird places.
This morning even, because we still have our hay shelter out front and some of the ducks have decided to venture into there. And then the dogs went out. So everybody was in that shelter logic with the hay. It's like, what are they doing with that hay that the goats and sheep need to eat?
Yeah.
It's scary.
There's a lot of stuff we want to do this summer. Obviously, I'm going to build that fence to claim more of our property and fence it in. But there's also little things to do in the spring. Anything that broke over the winter, you got to fix. During the winter, you're going to find out where the weak parts are in your daily routine and what we really need. For example, if you're going into the chicken coop and the door that I made for that part of the coop, it's made from this T111 stuff that's kind of sensitive to moisture, so it warps a little bit. And I've built it in such a way that the fibers are crisscrossed, so it holds together better than it would if it was just a straight piece of T111. But it still doesn't fit the door frame exactly the same all year round. And when you close the door at the wrong time of year, the wrong time of weather, temperature, humidity, part of the door is leaning back. And you know, you're trying to get all the chickens in there, and one of them can walk right past you because the door is kind of partly open.
Yeah, or if there's wind, which there normally is wind.
Oh, yeah.
It'll just blow right open. And we still got to replace their other door because it doesn't fit right and the glass is broken and it's not a good fit.
The wind took the door out of my hand and slammed it and broke all the glass.
Yeah.
So we got to do a lot with doors, but today, really yesterday and today, I found some scraps of time to fix a few doors. I added a hook and eye for the inside of the chicken coop so that Kara can close that from the inside and keep it shut. Did that for the little house where the girl ducks are. Did that for that as well. And what was it? The goat house needed slide bolts top and bottom for their door. So they couldn't just beat the crap out of the door. So there was a lot of little repairs. I also set the hoses up. And we were using them today. Past couple of days we were using them. Yeah, but of course we're going to have a cold spell.
Yeah, we had a 2-week hiatus or something from the hoses. And then supposedly we're going to get another nor'easter or some kind of storm.
So that is going to be, yeah.
April Fools, I hope. I don't know.
That nor'easter's coming. So we're going to have a hard time for a few days. It's going to be cold, and we're going to have another dump of snow on us that's going to turn into slush or ice or whatever, and more trouble with water management. I definitely have to dig ditches this summer and make French drains. There's no way around it.
It just never ends.
Once you have your infrastructure built, you're actually pretty good. You know, so the trouble is, you're never going to have enough money to buy the farm that an old couple has finished fixing up. It's going to be so expensive to buy that property that you're not, especially nowadays, the way the housing market is shutting out everybody. So, because the perfect purchase would be somebody like us when we're older and we're done. Or I guess Kara thinks I'm going to outlive her, so I would be an old man on the property. If you bought this place, you'd have to pay for all the infrastructure that we're going to build in the next couple of decades. And nobody has that kind of money when they're starting out. So you're going to have to do all this. It's going to be a bit of a job. But once you have it, it's there. Once we have our hydrant installed and we have an underground water line, it's there. And the following year, we don't have to do it again. There's a lot of work like that. And then there's little maintenance stuff.
Yeah. The problem is building it. It's just so expensive and you never have money. So it's like, ugh.
Every time you get a windfall, you have a little bit, it goes to the farm.
You got to pick your accomplishments, I guess.
Yeah, choose your battles.
I didn't want to call them battles because once it's done, it's an accomplishment. You did it.
That's true.
So, but everything takes money. If you don't have money, it's kind of a problem.
Yeah.
It's kind of a problem.
That's the intro. In other news, turns out I'm going to be building a pole barn after all.
Yeah. Well, turns out one of those folks that I had contacted about a different species of animals to bring to our nonprofit programming got back to me. They've been busy, I guess, because their pigs had piglets. So we may be adding 2 little piglets. We'll eventually get bigger into not so little piglets, but little piggies may be coming. So yeah. And they're so cute. I'm sorry.
And they don't need as big of a shelter.
No.
Now, some people will say they just need a simple A-frame that's open on both sides. But then I found a website that said that. And then I started digging around, like, where are you who says that they only need this? And they were in Texas. I'm like, oh, psh.
Yeah, no.
You don't know what you're talking about.
In a perfect world, we would have gotten another building. Like, we're building our people building. Not to backtrack a little, but we talked to Shed Solutions. We're going with a local company that will build it on site and then can do special financing. So that's in the works. But if we could do 2 more buildings so our sheep can have their own house and then we'd have that extra building. Because originally, if by chance I was going to get another animal group this summer, they were going to go into the vacant house, but it's no longer vacant because the ducks had to be rude.
They had to be separated.
Yeah. So that option was out. And then, so I'm scrolling on Facebook Marketplace. There was one. I should have acted on it. But when things happen on Monday, Tuesday, I'm kind of out of it because those are my busiest days for the bakery.
Yeah, this was like a 6x10 little house.
It was adorable.
It was built like a little cottage. Somebody built this as a chicken coop, and they just wanted to be artsy about it. And it had a little steepled roof.
Yeah.
It had two different roofs. It was pretty.
I forget the... It needed some work, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, but it was built very creatively, and built out of love. And it was just the kind of thing that you would display. It was great.
So I'm still bummed about missing out on that one.
And it was only $600.
Yeah.
Which... It's a lot of money, but it's a lot less than you'd pay to get that.
Couple grand.
Yeah, to get that built.
Yeah.
You know.
So
we're stuck with me.
I'll keep looking, though.
We're stuck with me building a couple of things. And I can do it. It's just a matter of the first one I build is going to be inefficient and ugly. And the second one's going to be better than that. And we're going to have to buy a different kind of plywood because the T111 I've been using... Well, it's like I said, it's just very susceptible to moisture.
It's different because our goat house and our up front duck house are made out of T111. But I feel like there's different versions.
We need to look that up.
We really do.
Or it could be the fact that they were painted.
No, because I feel like what you got was thinner than what...
Okay.
I don't know.
So there might be a different version of it or something. But the stuff that I got... You paint it one time and it soaks up the paint like a sponge. It's basically like layers of plywood, cheap
it's
plywood.
It's manufactured.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah. And so you have to paint it with multiple coats because the paint will soak into it. And if you paint it enough, it's pretty good. But then you have to be careful to make sure it stays painted because moisture can get in and then you're on the road to ruin.
It'll dry rot so fast. So if there's any builders or carpentry people looking for projects who want to help us this summer, feel free.
Feel free to donate your labor.
Why not? We'll feed you. And you get goat cuddles. What else do you want? Probably money, but we don't have a lot of that.
Now that might be the intro.
If you need internships also and want to... I still gotta look into that because people are like always interns and you're against interns. Sometimes it doesn't really work out, but
I'm not against it per se, but I feel like some people.
We're not gonna abuse these.
I feel like some people exploit the free labor.
Yeah. We would not exploit you. You would get meals and as much as we can give to you for your time and effort, but there are students who need to learn and grow. And we can teach a little bit. And if you want to learn by building or...
Yeah, I was against that because I didn't feel like we could teach anything. But we probably know a lot more than I'm giving us credit for.
I think we do. And we're learning as we go, which is the key to learning.
Like we can tell a young person... If you do it this way, this is what's going to happen to you over the following winter.
Or don't do it that way.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. You just say, don't do it this way, and here's why. This is why you don't do it this way. This is what's going to happen. And some of the safety issues, some of the other things, a lot of the behavioral stuff with the animals. Because we've noticed that our animals are very different from other people's animals. Because we're able to give them a lot of attention.
Yeah, I mean, still to this time, well, I mean, this day, we've only been doing it for like a couple of years.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, so afraid of goats. Oh, they're not social. They're mean. Not our goats. They're very chill and relaxed. And if you're the same way, they'll come up to you for pets and...
Yeah, we have Weathers and a couple of girls. We don't have any Billies. So if you have like
or Bucks.
Bucks, sorry. If you have bucks, then that's where a lot of that comes from. Also, the way just the amount of attention they get. They get bored. What kind of land are they on? Do they have stuff to do?
They need attention. Yeah. They're like dogs. Like, our dogs get bored, too. They've been spending the last 2 days, it's been sunny, and they've been outside most of the days. So
I'm getting frustrated because I've been using the goats to strip bark off of trees that I cut down. And with my chainsaw not working right, I can't go out and chop down the trees like I want to do. Because I'm looking at a couple of trees I cut down that I haven't had occasion to, you know, chop the branches off and cut them in sections for uses, poles or gates or whatever. But I can see them from here, and they are completely like a white line, both of them, because the goats have just taken all the bark off of them. And when I built our front gate, I stripped all the bark myself with what's called a bark spud, which is like a metal blade on a handle. And you just like scrape it up the log to get the bark off. And there's even a thing called a bark peeler, which you put on the end of your chainsaw that just takes it off. But if I can just lay the logs down and give it a few days,
it's so much easier.
And the goats just take it out. And then I come out after like 1 or 2 days and I roll the log over to expose the rest of the bark. And they just take care of it for me. Like, okay.
We didn't have goats in the very beginning when he had to do that part, so.
Yeah, and I didn't realize we could use them for that task.
But it depends on the type of tree. Not all bark is created equal.
Yeah, these ash trees, they seem to love it.
Yeah.
And it redirects them so they don't end up, you know, chewing live trees.
Sorry, Cashel's doing like roly-poly.
Yeah, Ashford did too. A couple of our goats will just fall down and roll on their back.
The mini Nubians seem to be more inclined to do roly-polies or get weird on rolling over and can't quite make it back up. They're very awkward.
It's like they want to land their back or something and then change their mind.
Yeah, they're like, wait, I don't like this. No. And then they can't get up. And it's like, I try to push them over, but they're kind
of
heavy
sometimes. I think some of it is they want to lay down a certain way, but they're on a hill and they roll over.
Yeah, they like to lay on hills.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of our property. It's varying levels of hill. That's why I'm thinking of pole barn. Because if I take like 4 poles, put them 3 feet in the ground, then I'm gonna be protected from frost heaving and from the wind. So the wind is not gonna, like, if I build a smaller building, I don't need to worry about it being pushed over.
Well, I hope not, because there are animals in it.
Well, yeah, it won't be pushed over with like full size kunikunis in it, but I just don't want any trouble. So it's gonna be fun building it. We'll see how it turns out. And what it looks like.
Yeah, I don't know. I might try to find another building first. We'll see. I mean, it depends on time and money and what's out there, right? Because I worry you won't have enough time and.
Yeah, it's about to crank up. We got the farmer's market starting in May.
Yeah, I mean, April's about to happen and.
Tomorrow.
That's right. Crap. So.
April Fool's Day is on a Monday.
That figures. Mondays are the worst. Monday and Tuesday, I don't know. It's too busy to do much. But I wanted to start all my programming in April. I have not had time to market or do anything, really. So, obviously, I mean, with the storm, does it really matter? Apparently not.
Yeah, at this time of year, everybody's just emotionally done with winter. And a storm is, like, a big deal. We're all just like, no.
Everyone's like, I'm not coming out again for another month. So maybe everything waits till May now.
Whereas in the middle of a normal winter, people will just go outside and they'll drive because it's part of winter. But at this point, we're done. We want spring.
Yeah, it's been hard. It's just been constant, not fun weather for a long time.
And we're going to have more expense because we're going to get me an auger for the summer.
Yeah.
I'm still debating over whether to get the smaller one or the bigger one. The Ryobi has a little auger that does a 6-inch hole in the ground that is powered by the regular batteries that you'd use for a power drill or something. And it's got the one that's powered by the battery that you'd use for a little push lawnmower or a weed, or like a heavy duty weed whacker or a pole saw or a chainsaw. And the larger one is like 8-inch holes, and it is larger. It is more hefty. And I just don't know if I need all that. But
I say go big or go home.
It might be a better idea. It's another $100, and we're probably going to be happy that we did that in the long run.
Yeah.
Because this can be wet ground and thick ground.
And Rockies.
I might need the extra power. Well, both models have a mechanism that stops when it hits a rock, which is good because you need that here.
Yeah.
But not only am I going to use that for digging for posts, but I'm also going to use it for digging trenches because I have to have an 18-inch trench for a French drain. And if I just do like a bunch of holes down the hill, that's less shoveling that I have to do. Anytime I can use a power tool to reduce the amount of physical labor I have to do, it's a good thing because there's only so much of me. And fighting with this ground, like fighting with a shovel and a post hole digger just to find out there's a giant rock is, you can only do that so much. And you end up spending the whole day fighting over like 2 or 3 posts. With an auger, I could go, nope, there's a rock here, and just move it a little bit.
Yeah, no problem.
Dig again, and it'll allow my physical strength to last longer and go through like more of the weekend before I'm just like toast. Because there have been times. I mean, it doesn't sound like much, like digging a hole for a post, until you're just pulling rocks out the size of your own head, just one after the other, and then you finally fit one, or you finally, and then you finally hit one that is way too big to remove. Like there was one rock that was really in my way, and I couldn't change position. I needed that spot, and I actually got a tie down strap. And I wrapped the tie-down strap around the rock in the hole and so that I could basically put it over my shoulder and stand up and just use my legs to lift the rock. It basically gave me leverage on the rock where I wasn't lifting with my back, where I wasn't reaching down and trying to pull, where I was able to just like lift it with my whole body. And that's what I had to do to get that rock out of that hole that time so I could put a post in for a gate. It actually could be that much work. It's crazy. So the auger is going to help. And it's also going to be truckloads of rocks because every truckload of rocks is $150. I'm going to have to buy the French drain material. I'm going to have to buy the kind of water line that people use for hydrants because I'm going to dig that hydrant this year. Even if we don't have money for the hydrant, I'm going to put the line in the ground. So there's just a lot going on.
Yeah, there's always, I mean, you had wanted to have it as a saving year, but we're still building, so we can't quite do that yet.
It's really hard to take a year off and just put money away, which is what I wanted to do. I wanted to pay things down this year, but we need that hydrant. There are certain things that affect how we operate in winter.
Yeah.
And
being a nonprofit, I can now apply for grants as soon. I mean, I just applied for my first grant, which is kind of scary, but I didn't have my financials lined up because I'm waiting for an accountant. Am I doing it? Is she doing it? I don't know. Do I know how to do it? Probably not.
And we need to know things like this people building is only being built because of the nonprofit.
Well, that's for this year, not last year.
Well, yeah. But there are things like the people building we keep talking about.
Yeah. So that's what the grant
I
applied for is going to help pay for that if we ever get it.
Yeah. Without the nonprofit, we wouldn't even try to put that.
We'd put something else there.
So there's stuff like that should be, maybe the nonprofit can pay for it.
We're not the normal, I mean, we're a nonprofit. But we're also, I mean, we're not a farm because we don't produce
crops or meat or anything like that.
Like, I have a table set up for seedlings to help income generate, but have I started that? No.
Yeah, we don't make our living with crops or anything like that.
I don't even have land to have a garden right now, so it's kind of whatever. The bakery is...
Well, we do. We just don't have the time to prep it.
There's that. But the bakery is what kind of keeps the nonprofit afloat, because the nonprofit does not create a source of... It's not income. We don't get an income, but... Funding, that's the word.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. So we don't get enough of that to be sustainable right now. So that's what I've been trying to work on. But, I mean, it's a... Yeah.
Yeah. Another reason the people building is so important is it's going to click for people of what we're trying to do. Once we have an actual place.
That's the hope, because the weather is so
volatile.
Volatile. Here.
You know what, violent tile also sounds good?
It
expresses the emotion of it.
It's so up and down, but if we had the actual building where we could host these activities and people just come into the building and not have to deal with the outside weather.
And let the animals in or not.
Yeah, and then the tent. Yeah, we have tents, but if it's windy... What's the point in the tent? It's just going to blow. So.
Speaking of which, for like $150, I can get a wind turbine, a 400-watt wind turbine that people use for boats and things. And it comes with a hybrid controller, so you can hook solar panels and wind turbines into the same charge controller. So we could, on the people building, we could just off-grid it.
Well, yeah, it'd probably be off-grid anyway because it's a little far down. But
the only other way – well, no, we could do it, but the only other way to put power in that building would be to dig a trench, an 18-inch deep trench from A to B, and use the line that's going to the chicken coop and extend that. Then you'd also have a place in the ground where an electrical line goes across, and you'd have to remember where that is and never do anything there.
Yeah. So hope the chickens don't dig it up because they make holes.
Yeah, but it'd be 18 inches down and it'd be in conduit, so that part's not a problem. But if you were digging, say, a French drain in that area, that might, because a French drain is also 18 inches deep, so that would interfere. So basically, everything's going to end up off-grid, all these buildings. We're going to get the batteries and get the controllers and... thinking about how to build an insulated box for the outside so that I don't have to sacrifice square footage inside the building.
And we have like a little propane heater for cold times, so.
Yeah, and it's rated for indoors.
Yeah. And it works because we use it in the shop for Valentine's Day event, so it works well.
Yeah.
As long as you don't put paper in front of it, which I kept trying to do. I don't know why.
Well, there wasn't a lot of room for it because the shop was kind of crowded.
It is. It's overcrowded.
But yeah, we could do propane heat and we can also buy, that heater is pretty good for the space we're going to have in the people building. That would probably be sufficient.
Yeah.
Another pro tip for those little propane heaters for indoors. I was looking up the conversion hose where you go, because those things are meant for you to screw the little 1 pound bottles into it. And some people want to use like a 20-pound bottle like they have for their barbecue. They want to use a refillable bottle. And you need a hose that goes from one to the other. And those hoses are different. It depends on which one you get. And I was reading in the instruction booklet that you get with the heater that I read.
Whatever.
There was this one particular hose that it recommended where it said you need to use a filter with the hose, but not if you get this 10-foot hose that they sell. So I started looking up, why do you need a filter with some hoses but not other hoses? And I found out that some of the hoses that go from your propane heater to your tank, they're made with this stuff on the inside that basically seeps into the heater and gums it up and gets it dirty. And there's some kind of oil or something on the inside of the hose. And the filter is to prevent that from getting into your heater. And you'll eventually have to clean it out so it works properly. You know, but this 10-foot hose they sell doesn't have those oils in it. It doesn't have those materials inside. And you can just use it and not worry about it. And you don't need to filter. It's just, it's made differently and it's made better. So I'm going to be getting one of those. And the 10-foot hose would also allow us to, like, cut a small hole in the wall, run the hose out that hole, and have like a 20 or 40 pound propane tank outside so that the little heater can run on the inside. And that's good for safety.
Yeah. So,
because you're not supposed to have the 20 pound bottle inside with you.
That'd be dangerous.
The heater can be inside with you if it's rated for that with the little 1 pound bottles. But if you got like a bigger bottle, a bigger tank, that should be outside. So this was your tutorial on these little, I think it's called Mr. Heater.
Mystery heater.
Mr. Heater. Like Mr. Coffee.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you're old enough to know what that is.
They still make them.
It's a brand of coffee maker.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll have off-grid power that's wind and solar. I'll get a little solar panel for when the wind's not blowing. You'll have some kind of power going in. But there's enough wind here that I'm confident the battery would stay topped off.
Oh, yeah. But to save money, I had to get it unpainted. So, because it was either get the building painted or get a wheelchair ramp. So we opted for the wheelchair ramp in case people who need that can come and...
Yeah, and that's another reason I want to...
So we need painters as well if you're into painting.
And that's another reason I want to dig the place up a little bit, because I want to make an actual road. We need to access that area all year round. And when it's muddy, it can get slippery. When it's icy, it can get slippery. The French drain is going to help a lot, because as soon as it gets above freezing, the water is going to have a place to go away. And we're not going to have as much muck and as much ice, as much bad stuff.
Hopefully.
Oh, we'll still have ice, but it won't be as bad. Because right now, when we get a warm day, the water's got nowhere to go, and it just sits there, and then it freezes. In this case, it would have the opportunity to run down the hill. And the little village that Kara wants to make at this part of the hill, not far from the house, would be a lot better off. And then in future years, I could build more French drains at the bottom of the hill, because we're going to have to do that to access more of the property. The concern is that I might run lines and dump them out somewhere and accidentally make a pond.
Mm.
And then the ducks would never come back.
Yeah, because if our ducks had access to a pond...
Oh, my God.
We'd have to get a little boat to, like, reel them in, because they wouldn't want to come home.
Can you imagine?
In bed.
Oh, you really like remote control boats, huh? No, not really. It's for duck wrangling.
They're kind of ridiculous. Like, we have one kiddie pool operational right now, but because it snowed and was cold for the last several weeks, we never got the rest of them out. So the boys have one pool, and I feel bad because no one else has any pool access.
Well, I could bring one out. I just set up the hoses in the back where the girls are, so I could set them up with the kiddie pool, but we're about to get cold blasted.
Yeah, so what's the point?
It's just frustrating, and I don't want to set up the larger pool. We have that PVC material folding pool.
Yeah, we have two really big ones. They're round with duckies on them.
And those are 12 inches high.
They'll probably get a smaller one for the front, because they're nicer than the little kiddie pools. Although the front might just need the kiddie pools a couple.
Yeah, the trouble with these things is they're 12 inches high, and you have to build a ramp so the ducks can get into them. And you have to put a rock or something inside so the ducks can get out of them. And in the front, everybody's got leg problems. Mm. So we just do the small size kiddie pools, because even the ones with leg trouble can get in and out of those.
They can just kind of flop in and flop out.
Yeah. But it's low enough that they can get in and bathe and get out.
And still have like bricks around it just in case. But
yeah. So we're going to make things nice. But Another reason for drainage is we're going to be dumping kiddie pools all the time.
Yeah, with ducks, there's so much water. So much water. It's a problem.
Now, an interesting thing that we could do is, because I know where my septic tank is and I know where my leach field is, I know exactly the path it takes, and we could always... I'm wondering if there's some way we could drain the big pool directly into a drainage system that goes down the hill. Like, that would be a future project.
Perhaps there's like a plug on it, so
yeah. So that's something to think about. We're a little distracted because the goats have all decided to like run.
Well, they're not running. Ducks are running up the hill like something spooked them.
As a unit, all the ducks are coming up the hill, and then the goats started to run, but then stopped.
Chickens are coming.
Everybody came up the hill, and when the goats came up, they're just standing. They only ran for like a second, but basically everybody came up from down there, and I feel like something is living outside our fence, or maybe neighbor dogs are running back there again.
Yeah, I don't see anything, but once someone gets spooked, they all get spooked because all of our animals are prey animals, so
yeah,
we don't have any.
And a lot of that's going to be solved by me extending the fence. Every time I extend the fence, the zone of safety increases where they feel comfortable.
We don't have any protective animals, although I did actually order some geese. Which is scary to think about because...
they're not Canadian geese.
Birds are scary. And geese, geese get a bad rap, right? So I looked up American Buff geese.
If we can even, tell the difference between goose eggs and...
I mean, they're bigger.
Large duck eggs. I guess they're not going to be with the pecans.
No. But geese don't lay like ducks or chickens. They're on a set schedule and they're very broody brody. They want to be mamas. So that is their main purpose. They only lay a certain number of time.
But we don't have a boy. So
we will be getting a boy.
We'll be getting a boy.
Two girls and a boy. Because, I mean...
because you want more geese?
I'm not saying I want more geese, but I don't want the geese and the ducks to be weird. So, and I feel like a boy would be a little more protective.
Yeah, you probably get more benefit from that from a male.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of their job in nature, I think. But I got to look up all that stuff on geese now because their behavior is not the same as a duck.
But apparently, they're a rare breed and there's not that many, but they are trainable. You can actually train some geese. They're super, super smart, and that's probably why they're such douchebags. But
well, yeah, people get mad about like, oh, geese are hateful. Well,
they got reason. You're invading their space.
Well, I mean, there's breeds of goose that are probably terrible, just like people say.
Yeah.
Especially wild ones think you're in their territory. But if they really are that smart and they're living in what veterinarians and other people have referred to as a 5-star hotel for these animals, then they're probably going to be pretty happy here.
And if we raise them and train them properly like all our other animals, granted our ducks aren't wanting people to pet them, but they're not mean to anyone. And actually one of our chickens, Air, got petted.
Whatever. I think you're right.
She wanted pets today by some people. So I got to pet her and she let some strangers pet her. So that's a Cochin chicken. So Cochins are super friendly and I would like to get more if I didn't miss the mark on ordering chickens this year. But
yeah,
it is what it is next year. So, yeah.
So we're going to add geese and pigs.
So that'll be fun. Ay-ay-ays. I don't even know.
So, yeah, I'm going to be building structures. They're not going to be fancy, but they should be enough. And I really want to build them in places that are not in the middle of things. I want to get to the edge as much as I can, the area that Kara wants for her village. I want to build on the edge of that so that my Mark 1 and Mark 2 are not right up in front for display, you know. But I don't want them so far away that it's an inconvenience for us.
Because we got to bring water there every day.
So placement is key. She and I will talk about it. We've got a giant compost pile where the people building is going to be. And if I can get a couple of days without rain, the goal is I've got a few stumps I need to cut up. And then I'm going to use the compost pile to bury them. I'm just going to push it down the hill. There's an area that was covered with small trees. It doesn't have grass. I'm just going to cover it with a compost pile. We'll have grass there someday.
Hopefully.
Yeah. But it'll bury the stump remnants, and it'll clear the way for that people building.
Yeah.
That should give you an idea, I guess, if you're thinking of doing this, of some of the concerns that we have. It's mainly a rambling episode, but I think we touched on a lot of things people would need to know.
Yeah. I mean, it's always scary to introduce new species to the existing. But if you get them young and you train, like, I'm not talking dog training, although we need to dog train. But
yeah,
I'm talking be exposed to them, have them slowly integrate with the group. Although we can't really do that. We kind of throw them in, but we're around them enough. He's in there early morning. I'm in there mid-morning, afternoon, and then it's bedtime. So there's not a whole lot of time where they're not exposed to somebody. So
yeah, we're monitoring when they're children. So
yeah,
we can detect problems quickly and early.
And
summer, I'm going to leave certain things compartmentalized. I want sections of the property fenced off away from other sections just in case we have to use it for something, just in case we have to shut somebody away from somebody else.
Because you never know, because you hear all these horror stories, but, I mean, we heard horror stories about goats, so.
Yeah.
We're the misfit farm, if you will. That name was already taken, so we couldn't use it, but.
But that should be enough for 1 week. We'll subject you to our musings again in 7 days' time.
Yes, hopefully we can figure out some more interviews, but problem is, you know, talking to people, it's hard.
Yeah. And people have been hibernating for winter and the weather's been terrible.
Yeah.
You know? But the important takeaway today is that 3 of our ducks that had prolapse issues got better and have gone back outside.
Yay!
And all but one are looking like they're going to recover completely. And that one we're hoping, but
because it's Hopeman.
It is Hopeman.
We got to hope for Hopeman.
Yeah. But she's the one that hasn't improved. But that's one out of 9 that we were initially worried about.
Yeah.
So that's much better odds. If you have the ability and you have the time, they can get better from a lot of stuff. Not everything, but
they'll surprise you. I mean, people may have more experience than we do, and they'll just be like, just call it. But do they put in weeks and months at a time to help them? I don't know.
Well, in those cases, the ducks are livestock and not pets. And there is a danger of prolonging suffering for an animal for your own emotional well-being.
But they're not suffering.
Right.
They're happy. They're eating, drinking. They're bored, for sure.
Yeah, and they're improving. So yeah. So the thing is, if we'd written them off right away, then they would have missed this chance to improve. So we kind of took care of them in the house until we could be sure of whether they're going to improve or not. And then when they started showing signs of recovery, okay, let's keep going. And 3 of them are outside now.
Yes. Is so, our house a stinky, yucky mess?
It's an effort. It's definitely...
It's disgusting. Do I want to throw up every time I go in the laundry room? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But the thing is, you...
And I clean it out like 3 times a day, so...
But the thing is, you can be surprised by how much they can recover if you give them a chance.
Yeah.
So that's where we're at. And if it comes to it, we'll make the call. But I think in the future, we're going to give the birds a lot more time than we originally were going to. Because
I'm not ready to give up. Yeah. So I'm like, what if? No one knows. People just cut it off after a couple of days. So,
So we're going to withhold any kind of decision for a little while.
Yeah. We're taking records and there'll eventually be a book, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So not on duck prolapses, but it'll be included.
And we're going to tell the vets what's going on because veterinarians get their info from us, from people that they serve, from their patients.
Yeah, because they don't even know all the things.
They don't live in every single farm. Different people have different things happen to them. And you can help your community by telling the veterinarian what happened to you and how you got out of it or how it turned out. And then she has that information to draw from when she's advising other people.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it helps. All right, so I guess that's it for this week.
Happy Easter if you celebrate. If not, don't worry about it. It's just another Sunday.
Yeah. It's too bad we didn't get a day off.
Yeah.
So until next time, have a good whatever you're doing.
Bye.